Hi, I'm Michael. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the missions director. As a church, we are committed to answer God's call to reach every nation. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
All right, I want to read in Leviticus. Can you please stand with me? Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 to 5. I'll just read from verses 1 to 5. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat, but in this way, Aaron shall come into the holy place with a bull from the herd for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat and shall have the linen undergarment on his body, and he shall tie the linen sash around his waist and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water and then put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that your word is life. Lord, I pray that today as we hear and listen to the preaching of the word, that you'd breathe life into us. Lord, I pray that as we hear you speak to us, that you'd give us grace and hearts to obey what we hear. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. All right, this is our third week of our series, Set Apart. And this series is all about the biblical view of holiness. Now, this is, for some of you who have heard about this, holiness. This is a serious and sometimes heavy topic, isn't it? Parang start of the year, I remember some of our themes. We had great faith. How many of you remember? How many of you want great faith? And then amazing grace. We want amazing grace and great faith. Last year, miracles. And this year, holiness. Wow. And it's a heavy topic. But it's a topic that's badly needed to be preached in every church, in every congregation, especially in this generation. Now, how many of you love watching movies? You love watching movies? Okay, I never watch movies, only Bible and only preaching, podcast. But I heard from my friends here about some movies that they watch. How many of you like love stories? Love stories? Okay, love stories. We love movies. We love love stories. But I hate some of those tragic love stories. And if you're familiar with some of the tragic love stories, it leaves you so sad and depressed after watching them. One of those movies was the Curious Case of Benjamin Button. How many of you watched this? I mean, it's so depressing. It's like they can't be together. They want to be together, but they can't be together because one is growing younger and one is growing older, and you don't know when they will be together. It ended up sad. Another classic, Romeo and Juliet, you know that. Sad, tragic love story. There's one real classic one that could have ended up like a tragic love story, and this is pakita natin. It could Shrek, a classic love story. And you're thinking this could have been tragic. But there was a redemption at the end. I mean, think about our story with God. Our story with God almost ended up as a tragic love story. Because our story with God is really a love story. If you look at the Ten Commandments is not just a law that God wanted us to obey for a king, but it's more of a love letter that a lover is trying to tell us so that we can have an ongoing relationship with him. So he created us holy in his sight so that he could have that love relationship with us. And this is the reason why if we don't have a relationship with God, just like what Pastor Jansen said, we feel empty. We feel like there's something else with all the success that we can get from the world, fame, money, position, power. If you don't have this love relationship with God, it seems like it's lacking something because we were made for that love relationship. And yet something tragic happened, as we would have seen from the preaching last week. If you were here last week, what happened? Sin came in and our holiness was lost. And we ended up being separated from God. And man, sinful humanity, tried our best to be with God, to be back with God. And we tried religion, and we tried philosophy, and we tried education, and we've tried humanism, and we tried good works and good deeds. But tragically, it's not enough. Because of what happened at the fall, man cannot be with him no matter how much we want to. And this is the story of Leviticus that we read. If you look at Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1, the first verse says, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron. Why did they die? Because they drew near before the Lord. I mean, imagine this. You're serving God. Imagine you're the pastor. You're the pastor, and you've raised your sons to love God and to serve God. So you're the pastor, and your two sons are pastors, and your two sons are serving God, and when they serve God, God killed them. How would you feel? I mean, that is wild. When we read the Bible, we just feel, oh, tragic, oh, what? But put some humanity into it. I mean, for those of you who've lost a child, I've lost a child. Pastor Earl lost a child. Pastor, we know the grief of losing a child, but losing a child while you're serving God? That's tough. That is tough. And so the senior pastor, Moses, God spoke to him, and God spoke to Aaron. And why did the two sons die? That's the first verse. It's in Leviticus 10. You will see that the two men in serving God, the two sons of Aaron, offered unauthorized, in the NIV, unauthorized fire. In the ESV, strange fire. Parang, anong ibig sabihin nun? But if you think about it, everything they did, no matter what their motive was in serving God, everything they did was wrong. First, they were the wrong people to offer it. As later on we're going to see, it should be the high priest. Then they used the wrong instrument. Instead of the censer from the high priest, they used their own censer. And then not only that, they did it at the wrong time because there was a time that God said they should do it. And then they used the wrong fire because it should be from the incense at the most holy place, but they got it from something else. So God came and killed them. Now this is shocking for some of us. But in Leviticus 10 verse 3, here's what God said through Moses. In the NIV, Moses then said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, how many of you want to approach God? Parang wala na, di ba? Kung sino, yung anak ng high priest na matay. And this is what he said, I will be proved holy. The sight of all the people, I'll be honored. And Aaron remained silent. In the NLT, he says, I will display my holiness. If you're going to approach me, I want you to know I am holy. God is love, but he's not just love, he's holy. God is gracious, but he's not just gracious, he is holy. God is kind and merciful, yes, but He is holy. He wants to display His holiness to people who draw near to Him. And it's interesting, I was reading this and I said, Aaron, ikaw yung tatay na namatayan. Aaron remained silent. So here's Moses, senior pastor, went to the pastor whose two sons were killed, two pastors, and he said, here's what God said. And he was silent. If you look at the word silent in Hebrew, it literally means stupefied. Eh, parang malalim eh. Struck dumb. So astounded that one becomes still and silent. How many of you have ever been in an event, something happened that you can't speak, you become speechless? How many of you have ever done that? Like, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, like, speechless. You can't find any words to say. Diba sa Tagalog, nga nga. Parang, and why? He's probably thinking this. Nadab and Abihu were not outsiders. They were anointed priests. They've seen God on the mountain. Their father was the high priest. They were trained in the service of God, and yet they were killed for their disobedience. If I would imagine a thought bubble from Aaron, how many of you know we're silent sometimes, that we have so many thoughts going on? A thought bubble probably say, who can approach this holy God? Who can approach this kind of holiness? You see, a revelation of God's holiness will always, always dismantle sinful man. Let me say that again. A real revelation of God's holiness will always dismantle sinful humanity. And this is what happened to Isaiah. How many of you are familiar with Isaiah 6? When Isaiah saw the seraphs flying, seraphs are not angels, they're another being. In fact, some people say that Isaiah created a word because there's no word to describe it. Seraph nilang mag-worship. Seraph. They were worshiping. And you know what they were doing? They said, holy, holy, holy. And he had a glimpse and a revelation of the holiness of God. Isaiah, who was one of the most pious men during that time, he was royalty. He was a relative of the king. He had a golden tongue, one of the best orators, one of the best writers. Even secular writers would say he was a genius in communicating. And what did he say? A revelation of God's holiness. What did he say? Woe to me! I'm ruined! Because God is so holy. Peter in Luke chapter 5, you remember with Jesus. Jesus said, you have not caught anything, put the net on the other side, and they caught fish, and he realized he was in the midst of a holy presence of a holy God. What did Peter say? Away from me, I'm a sinful man. When the disciples were in the boat and they were about to sink, you remember that? And they were so scared, and Jesus was sleeping, and Jesus hushed the wind and stopped the storm. They realized they had this revelation of the holiness of God, and they said, the Bible says in Matthew 8, the disciples were terrified. He calmed the storm, but wow, miracle, God, galing mo. They were terrified. And they asked each other, what kind of a man is this? That's what happens when you get a glimpse and a revelation of the holiness of God. Our quote-unquote light sins and our quote-unquote small compromises, they begin to matter. It's so easy right now to go before God and think, oh, I'm holy because I go to church. I'm holy because I serve. I'm holy because I do all these things for God. I disciple. I can speak Christianese, Pastor. How are you? Today is the day that the Lord has made for me to rejoice. Wow, may verse lagi. How's the food? Anointed. And you think you're holy, and then you have a revelation of the holiness of God. you're dismantled. And this is what happened here. How can we approach this kind of holy God? As serious and as strong as that is, how many of you know that even the Old Testament, God is a gracious God? And that's what Leviticus is. Because God wanted us to be with Him so badly. Even though God's holiness is deadly to human, sinful humans, He wanted us to be with Him. He graciously made a way for us to draw near. So here's what He said in verse 30. Verse 30 of Leviticus 16. God said, "For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you." How many of you are glad God made a way to cleanse us? That we can stand in this terrifying presence of a holy God and not die. He said, "I have made atonement to cleanse you, and you shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins." And this is what we call the Day of the Atonement. This has become, it's called Yom Kippur. How many of you have ever heard that? The Yom Kippur War in 96, it was the Day of Atonement for the nation of Israel when God graciously atoned for all the sins. All. Light, heavy, mortal, venial, small or big, all the sins. And God gave a new beginning to people and to the nation of Israel. How many of you are glad God is gracious to give us a new beginning? God is gracious to forgive all our sins. There's no sin too great. We're singing that in one of our songs. There's no pain too deep that He cannot cleanse. He has said that because our God is holy, yet our God is gracious. And I hope the only way we're going to appreciate the grace of God is for us to understand and have a revelation of the holiness of God. Because if we never understand the holiness of God, we're going to treat the grace of God lightly. But the grace of God is so powerful, it cleanses us from all our sins. It makes us clean, and it gives us access to God and to draw near Him. And here's what He did. On the Day of Atonement, only one person could access the presence of God. It's the high priest. One person, high priest. And here's what He said, "Tell Aaron your brother." On the Day of Atonement, it's about Aaron. It's about the high priest. Okay? He can come to the presence of God. So one person, high priest, that would bring atonement for all people. And it's one time. Once a year, He said, "Tell your brother not to come at any time." Even if you're the high priest, you're gonna just enter any time. There is a set day, it's the Day of Atonement, once a year. And then there's one place for you to do that. You can come to God anywhere you want. There's the temple, and even the temple, it's in holy place, and then there's a Holy of Holies. Outer temple, inner temple, holy place, holy of holies. That's where, "Tell your Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark so that he may not die." How many of you are glad God has made a way for sinful humanity to gain access to Him? God has made a way for sinful humanity to have this love relationship with Him again. And that has been the practice by the Jews. And that's been practiced even today by Jews who have not come to the ultimate solution of God. Because as gracious and as good as this that has been put in place by God in Leviticus, it was still a limited access to God. Limited. One person only, one time only, and one place only. God had to bring in His ultimate solution. I'll be not temporary, but permanent. But sad to say, a lot of people today think this way in their relationship with God, that they can come to God. So what do? They go to God through saints. They go to God through Mama Mary. And their thinking is, she's the mother, and the mother will talk to the son. It's as if the son has no decision-making by himself, even though he's divine and he's God. We go through mediators. We go to a priest. And now that you become a Christian, you go to the pastor. Pastor, I really need you to pray for, and we love praying for you. And we say, get the person to pray for you. Pinag-pray ka na ng katabi mo, gusto mo pa sa pastor. Kasi iba yung access ni pastor kay God. And I've heard that so many times. I've heard that from my friends. Bro, may special access ka kay God. Pag-pray mo naman ako. Sometimes we think it's not any time. So we set a quote-unquote special time to do this. The 3 o'clock habit. Sunday. Ayan yung Sunday to go in the presence of God. Pagka, work yun. Wala si Lord dun. Dito, si Lord. Pagka Lent season, not on Good Friday, patay si Lord. Kailangan during Easter. O kaya, si Jesus early morning, nandun si Lord. Baka early morning, kailangan gumising ako. Paggabi, baka wala si Lord, tulog na. Or we think it's not anywhere, so that we designate sacred places. It's a church. It's in a Bible study. It is in a victory group. It's in sacred places. But this is where the ultimate solution of God comes in. When He revealed His holiness, it was terrifying. It was serious. It was sacred. And only God can offer the ultimate solution, so that our love story doesn't end up on a tragic note. And what did He do? Because God wants for us to be with Him. God wants for us to have a relationship with Him. He sent His one and only Son to become man, be arrested and tried, be mocked and rejected, be beaten and crucified, to experience the most excruciating, most humiliating death that a man could ever die of, so that we can have access to God. In Mark 15:38, when Jesus died, and when He said, it is finished, the Bible says the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain of the temple was used to say, this is the presence of God and everybody's out because you're sinful. Just a trivia. Joseph was one of the best historians of Christianity, said this. The curtain in the Holy of Holies was so massive, it measures 30 feet wide, 60 feet high, 4 inches thick, and it weighed around 4 tons. Josephus would say that 300 men would hold it, and that even if you take horses tied to each side to break it apart, the veil will not break. But when Jesus died, how many of you are glad when Jesus died, whatever barrier we have into the presence of God has been broke open? We now can have total and direct access to God, anyone, anywhere, anytime. You, Pastor Me, I'm not a perfect Christian. I'm not even discipling anyone yet. Anyone can now have access to God, including you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22 says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have what? Now what do we have? Confidence to enter the holy place. It's not Nadab and Abihu anymore. It's not terrifying anymore. It's not scary anymore. We're not entering the holy place thinking, I can die anytime. We have confidence to enter His presence. By what? The blood of Jesus. Because there's a new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain. And what is the curtain? It's His flesh. His flesh was broken. Therefore, the curtain was torn apart. And we have a great priest over the house of God. And then it says, let us draw near. And the confidence is this. When we draw near, we have a full assurance because we have hearts sprinkled clean and bodies washed with pure water. You and I can approach God anytime, anywhere, because now, because of Jesus' blood, you are made clean. We're made holy. Amen? Our holiness had been restored because of what Jesus did on the cross. And more importantly, sinful man, like the person seated next to you, believe it or not, tingnan mo yung katabi mo. Sa dami ng kasalanan yan, that person could have a relationship with God. Great love story, the greatest love story of all. Amen? That has been my testimony. I was irreligious, our family were irreligious. I could count, my brother is here, I could count. And my fingers at times, I went to church. Although my parents had their own personal faith in God, but I never thought of that. And then I went to college. I got into a more sinful lifestyle. And every time people would ask me, invite me, go to the Bible study, go to church. Lagi ko sinasabi, hindi para sa akin yan, mapapaso ako dyan. How many of you have ever said that before? Mapapaso ako dyan. I'm so sinful that I cannot get in there. But 35 years ago, I heard the gospel. First from my brother, who was here. And then eventually, I heard it from Victory through a seminar. And ever since then, there's this vibrant, growing relationship with God that I'm living for the past 35 years. I have enjoyed this relationship with God. I've enjoyed His presence anytime, anywhere. And this could be your love story, no matter who you are. This is our sermon today.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.